I want to introduce a series tonight. I know Brother Manny, last time he came, he spoke and did a great job, but I already had on my calendar what I wanted to do, and I appreciate him understanding that tonight. I finished the book of Deuteronomy and was praying as to the direction God would have us to go on Wednesday nights. And I do believe that God gave me a direction for us as a church body, as people of God. I trust one that will encourage us and lift us. As I'm looking at my calendar, I'm seeing this study go all the way through the end of September, maybe even into the month of October. And I want to preach you a series simply entitled, He's Able. He's Able. Daniel said this about God. The three Hebrew children said that God was able to deliver them. Paul would tell us in the book of Acts that God would be able to build us up. I don't know if you've ever needed to be built up in your emotion or in your spirit or in your encouragement. Paul would later remind us of what Abraham understood about God, was that God was able to keep his promises. He would go on later in the book of Romans to write to us that God was able to make us stand. He would give us strength. Paul would tell the Corinthians that God was able to make all grace abound toward them. I don't know about you. I know what saving grace is, but I'm also thankful for God's sufficient grace in my life. Paul would tell the church at Ephesus that God was able to do more than, and exceedingly abundantly more than they could ever ask or think. Has God ever blown your mind? If so, would you say amen to that? Some of you, it was easier than others, that's for sure. That's a little joke you didn't get. It went right over your head. Paul told the church at Philippi that God was able to subdue all things. Pastor, I just can't seem to get a handle on my life. That's interesting. God said he can not only secure your life, he can subdue all things. He would write to Timothy that God would be able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day, speaking of God's ability to keep us for all eternity. The writer of Hebrews said that God was able to secure us in our temptation. Thank God for that. He would go on also to write that God was able to save them to the uttermost that believe upon him. The writer would also, of the book of Hebrews, let us know that God was able to raise the dead. Jude, the last one, really and truthfully, to pin the ability of God, let us know that God was able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne of grace. Pastor, why do you say all of this? Because as I thumb through the Bible and I look at this, God was very clear to communicate to you and I what he is able to do in our lives. And I think that is very important for us to understand tonight and very important for us to understand from going forward here, because I think many times in our lives and as humans, no matter the testing or the trial or the difficulty, we forget God's ability. And I'm not sure. I think I can show you some things tonight from Genesis chapter 18 that hinder us in this capacity. But I wanted to take the summer and I wanted you to come on Wednesday night. And I don't know about you, but it seems like Wednesday night is when my heart is the most heavy with needs. Wednesday night is that time when I really need God to get me through the week. I really need a truth from God that I can hang on to. It seems like on Wednesday nights, I need to come in here and I need my faith stirred and I need to be renewed in my belief as I battle unbelief. And I got to be reminded of what God is able to do in my life. I have found, beginning in Genesis chapter 18 and going into the book of Jeremiah, or going through the book of Numbers, going into the book of Jeremiah, going into the book of Matthew, going into the book of Luke, God very early in his relationship with his people and all throughout his relationship with his people had to remind his people of something. Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 18. I want to remind you this tonight as we begin our introduction to the series, He's Able. And the Lord appeared unto him, that him would be Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, we know this is a pre-incarnate Christ here with two angels. If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, just the way I like my steak, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter, milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, that would be the men that said unto Abraham, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, this is the Lord speaking, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were what class? Old. I didn't call them old, you called them old. Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. You understand that. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Remember, the promise had come chapters before. The promise had come before then of the seed that would be blessed the earth. Here's Sarah. She's heard the news. She's laughing in her tent. I love verse number 13 and 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? That's interesting. He's not in the tent, but he knows what's going on in the tent. Saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? I have 14, the first part of it underlined in my Bible. I'd ask you to underline it, please. Is anything too hard? Finish the question. For the Lord. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. Why would you lie to God? For she was afraid. And he said, Nay, thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and the chapter goes on. Very early in God's dealings with his people, God had to remind his people that there was nothing too hard for the Lord to do. In the book of Numbers, once again, God reminds his people, there is nothing too hard for him. When you get to the book of Jeremiah, once again, he reminds his people, there is nothing too hard for him. When it comes into the New Testament, he switches the wording a little bit. You know this. And he uses the word possible. and impossible. And he says this about salvation. He says this about certain other things, that with man, this is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And I have found that at the beginning of my relationship with the Lord and throughout my relationship with the Lord and my walk with the Lord and throughout the walk of God's people with him, many times we forget that there is nothing too hard for our God to do. Church family, we serve the all-powerful, miraculous God. If you agree with that, say amen. Do you believe? Can you honestly, don't answer quickly, don't give me your Christian answer. I don't need your Christian answer. I need your real answer. Are you telling me that whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever situation, whatever need that you have tonight, that you're sitting there with that perfect confidence because you believe that there is nothing too hard for God to do in your life? When God brought this truth to Sarah, she laughed. She did not receive it. Earlier, Abraham himself in chapter 17 had laughed. Pastor, why would people, why do we get to the place in our lives where we entertain, whether by thought or we evidence by our actions, that we do not in that moment believe that there's nothing too hard for God to do in our life? I think if you were to study this in this passage, I would say this. Most of God's people struggle with whether things are impossible with God or not because we have yet to realize that God's plans for us are way beyond our imagination. God had a plan to bless the families of the earth. By the way, if you were blessed by that promised seed, would you say amen? Just to test your spiritual understanding. And God wants to take these two people and bring a promise into the world, to bring Isaac into the world. Through that promise, the Lord Jesus Christ would be brought into the world. And God has a plan. That's his plan. And his plan blows the mind or goes beyond the, not only the physical capacity of Abraham and Sarah, but goes beyond the mental capacity of Abraham and Sarah. Isaiah said it this way. He said, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. I need you to understand tonight that God has an individual plan for your life. I need you to believe that. Why do I need you to believe that? If you're 13 to 18, would you look at your preacher for a second? I need you to believe that so you don't kill yourself. Our world, our young people are destroying themselves. I have a preacher friend, two this past week. Two in their through their church. Our young people are seeing no reason to live upon the earth any longer. I'll give you a reason to live upon the earth. God loves you and God has a great plan for your life. And God's plans for our lives go way beyond our physical abilities and they go way beyond our mental abilities. That's fine. They're God's plans. Therefore, they ought to have the character of God. And we forget that we serve a miraculous, marvelous, all-powerful God. And the evidence of that forgetfulness is, I'll just use the word to alliterate it, is mundaneness. And many of God's people kind of settle themselves into this mundane life. This might be you tonight. You might be here tonight and you're thinking, my life is just so mundane. Pastor, it seems like I'm just doing the same thing over and over. I get up, I go to work, I get up, I do this, I go here. I'm just stuck in this mundaneness. I got news for you. God's plan for you is not a mundane plan. He's greater than that. And you're not going to be able to understand God's plan in its totality. That's why he doesn't give it to you in totality. That's why he walks you through this process. But Sarah here, she's got to the position where she doesn't believe that God can do what God says he can do. She believes there's some things too hard even for God. Abraham, they've already proven themselves about this because there's a boy on the earth called Ishmael. By the way, Ishmael was not God's plan, right? And so God had given that promise. God told them he would give them a son. And Abraham and Sarah, they got stuck in that mundane. We're getting older. We're getting this. Things aren't happening. There's just no way we're past that point. And so let's take our lives into our hands and let's just make our decision. And I submit to you that if they had it all over again, they wouldn't do that decision. And I'm finding that I'm not sure that God's people honestly believe that there's nothing too hard for our God. Why would we be anxious? Why would we be distraught? Why would we be discouraged? Instead, we kind of resign ourselves to this mundane position and just, this is my life, this is the way it is going to be, this is the way I'm going to finish it, and even God can't do anything about it. I got news for you. Let God have your life at any moment in your life, and he can do more than you could ever dream with your life. Because God's plans for us are beyond us. Are you living God's plan for your life right now? How would I know, Pastor? How would I know if I'm doing what God wants me to do? How do I know if I'm living God's plan right now? Well, I think one of the evidences that you're living God's plan right now is that you are believing God, you're following God, you have a joy in your life. There is a miraculous part to your life. There is an adventurous part of faith into your life, and you're not just resigned to ho-hum mundaneness. And if you're living a mundane life, I'll tell you where you live your mundane life. You don't live your mundane life on your couch. You live your mundane life in your brain. And you let your brain tell you I know God has a plan, but listen, my debt situation or my single situation or my job situation or this, Pastor, my life is just what it is. That ship has sailed, and even it's just too hard, even for God. No, it's not. Because God's plans are beyond us. I don't know about you, but let me ask you this question. You affirm it with an amen. Do you want to live God's plan for your life? Why do God's people need to be reminded that there's nothing too hard for God? Because God's plans are far beyond us. Number two, because our circumstances burden us. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. Abraham and Sarah were old, and they are stricken. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Her circumstances were a burden to her. God has unfolded his plan. His plan is beyond their physical ability. His plan is beyond their mental ability. And the first thing that she looks at is she looks at her circumstances. And these were natural circumstances. These were the circumstances that she found herself in. But these were not circumstances that were too hard for God. Your circumstances aren't too hard for God. God's not burdened by your circumstances. Got to say that again. God's not burdened by your circumstances. God doesn't care if you have no money or got all the money in the world. God's able to do whatever God wants to do in your life. Well, Pastor, I'm divorced. I'm a single parent. Pastor, we don't have much. Pastor, if you knew all the mitigating circumstances in my life, then you would know why I'm not able to really do what God wants me to do. I got news for you. You are the only one burdened by those circumstances. There is nothing too hard for God. But we get so pinned in on those circumstances, and we let them just become this heavy rock and burden. And once they burden us, they also blind us. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. The Bible says, Then Sarah laughed within herself. She
She couldn't even see the possibility. Her faith eyes were blinded by the burden of her circumstances. She couldn't even entertain the thought. It amazes me how God's people, if our mind is not renewed by the Word of God on a daily basis, how we're so defeated in our thought life so quick. And so we begin to think defeat. We begin to think mundaneness. We begin to think about our circumstances. And pretty soon we'll begin to think these thoughts that, well, this is just too hard. God can't unfold what he said here. Or God's not going to be able to do this in my life. Or God's not going to be able to bring me through this situation. And she let her circumstances not only burden her, but she let them blind her. Do you believe God has a sense of humor? You know the end of the story, right? God comes and gives them a child. Does he have a boy or a girl? A boy, right? Pastor, are you reading a different Bible to me? No. What'd they name that boy? Come on. Anybody know what the word Isaac means? Say it out loud, Al. Tell me God's got a sense of humor. Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a baby. Sarah laughs an unbelief laugh. God hears the laugh. Sarah, why'd you? I didn't laugh. No, Sarah, you did laugh. By the way, name the child laughter. Isaac, laughter. Laugh every time she said the boy's name. She was confronted by the fact, no, Sarah, you did laugh. Circumstances, and all throughout the Bible, God had to remind his people, there's nothing too hard for me. There's nothing too hard for me. But God's people, we can't understand that God's plans are always going to be above our physical ability and even above our mental ability. We can't let the circumstances of our life burden us down, and we can't let it blind us in our faith where we get to the point where we don't trust the Lord. And look at chapter 18, verse number 12. Look at verse at the end of that. She says, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. What's the next word there? It starts with an S. Saying. So not only does she laugh, her laugh is evidence that there's unbelief there. But she puts words to her laughter. Do you ever wish you could tell what your kids were saying under their breath or your wife was saying under their breath? It's one thing to laugh with unbelief. Then she puts these words to that unbelief. And I submit to you, read these words. Saying, I am waxed old. Shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Her circumstances didn't only burden her. They didn't only blind her. They bittered her. They bittered her. And those words that are coming, They're not just coming from a position of unbelief. They're coming from a bitter bite against God. Not only do I not believe what you're saying, I don't think you can even do what you're saying. And the embitterment there. If God's people get to the place where we believe God unfolding his plan and his ability in our life to carry that out, if we get to the place where we don't believe he can do that, it's going to absolutely embitter us. Especially as he begins to push and to push and to push and to push and to lead and to guide. And the more that I deny or the more that I reject or the more that I deny, and that bitterness develops in my heart. Let me ask you a question here just a second. Tell me you're not here tonight bitter at God because somehow you didn't think that God came through with you in your life. Tell me that
you haven't embittered yourself now where you're not even allowing God to do anything in your life. You're not even allowing that to unfold. You're not even allowing anything to move there. And so you've let circumstances burden you and blind you and bitter us. That's how people get to the point where they can kind of just live their life thinking, well, even God can't help me. My problem is too big and too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too big or too hard for God. Amen. I know it's a touchy situation, but I've got to get this introduced to you before I can help you. Look at verse 13 and 14. Why do people believe that things are too hard for God? We can't believe that his plans are beyond our imaginations. Our circumstances burden us, they blind us, and they bitter us. And then verses 13 and 14, you'll find that our minds betray us. Our minds betray us. I'll show you something here. This is beautiful. Verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, now watch this, God heard everything the woman said, and he's able to quote it right back to her. Now watch what she says. Shall, what's the next word? I. Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Notice verse number 14. Is anything too hard for you, Sarah? Is that what your Bible says? No. Our Bible doesn't say that. Our Bible says, is anything too hard for the who? The Lord. What did Sarah do? Sarah does the exact same thing Tom does. Sarah says the exact same thing that many of God's people do. God unfolds his will. Now, don't miss this statement. God will never give you his will without giving you his ability to perform that will. So God unfolds that will. It blows her physical mind, her physical ability and her mental mind. Immediately she goes to look at those circumstances that begin to burden her and blind her and bitter her. And then that mind of hers begins to betray her. And here's what the betrayal is. The betrayal is Sarah looks at her ability instead of reckoning God's ability. Whenever God presents his plan or his will for you, I promise you it's going to intimidate our ability. We're going to look at our ability and we're going to say, there is no way that I can do this. Perfect. That's what God wants you to see. Because God doesn't need you to do it. God just needs you to be willing to let his ability do that in and through your life. And her mind began to betray her, and it had her focused on her. It wasn't her. It was what was God going to do here. And he goes on to say, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall, I love that, God doesn't doubt his own ability. I need you to hear that again. God doesn't doubt his own ability. But we sure do. The time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Oh, when you read through the book, you understand this is what happens. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I guess that's a question we all have to deal with. Do we believe in our life that God can do what he says? Do we believe that there is nothing impossible for God? Do we understand and support that? Or have we come to the place where we just think that some things in our life are just too hard even for God? I submit to you, when you get to that point, life gets very mundane. Life gets very limited into your ability. Life gets boring beyond belief. But it is very exciting to know that God has a plan for me. If you believe God's plan has a plan for you, say amen to that. He has a plan for you. Pastor, I hear you say that all the time. If God has a plan for me, then why doesn't he show me? Oh, are we a little bitter? You want to know what God's plan is? You'll find it in this book. I would dare say, the person who says, if God has a plan for me, then why doesn't he show me? That person is not intentively studying the word of God, because the Bible promises that God will make his way plain. He will make his way perfect. And you're not going to know God's plan unless you're in God's book. I promise you about God's plan for your life. He'll bring you to moments in your life where your physical abilities can't even touch it. It will blow your mental ability beyond belief. That's right. That's the kind of God we serve. And you're forced, and I'm forced to reckon this. And so much we put God in the same box as our own ability, what we think about ourselves or what we think about humanity. But God's not in that box. If you let your mind for a few moments entertain that somehow God's ability is limited to your ability, then you're never going to go anywhere. Well, Pastor, I've got circumstances. Right. But absolutely, don't let those things burden you. Circumstances are not a problem to God. If God's calling you to do something, you submit to it. He'll take care of the circumstances. Has anybody ever had that happen before? Don't let it blind you. Even the thought of it, there's just no way I just don't see my way forward. Right. But God sees all the time. And then don't let that bitter you to the point where now you're coming back at God with response. There's where Sarah was. And she had the battle, the mindset of betraying. I need to take the summer. And I need to take this Bible. And here's, be honest with you, as the pastor, just dealing with my own heart, my own mind, and dealing with people, I feel like I got to remind you again that there is nothing too hard for God in our lives. We serve a great God. I don't want you to get defeated. Pastor, I'm asking God, and I've been praying and asking God to meet my need for a long time, and it just doesn't seem like he's able. Hang in there. He's able. Pastor, our situation is so dire, there's just no way out. Oh, yeah. Those three Hebrew boys got thrown in that furnace, but God made them a way out, didn't he? Pastor, I just can't even get a handle on my life. Well, God's able to do that. All kinds of things that God is able to do. And I think it'll bless you in a wonderful way. All right, let's have our prayer and we'll go home.